Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday is like a Saturday again, and Monday is Sunday.
So that is a good point to look at the 3-day weekend, huh? Yeah, so thank you so much. And before I go any further, I must thank Nicholas Snow. You all know him. If you have not, please follow his show, Snow Biz Now. He's one of the veteran. He's one of my favorite show hosts anyhow. And I was so blessed this weekend to be virtually trained by him, one-on-one production training by the one and only Nicholas Snow, Snow Biz Now, right here at Blog Talk Radio. So you all follow him if you have never listened to his show. His next live broadcast will be on June the 1st. It's Saturday. And I just cannot thank him enough because, you know, I'm working on revamping the show and really improving the delivery of the show. And he really, really, really is a blessing to me and is a blessing to me in doing so. So thank you. And again, I hope everyone's celebrating a patriotic Memorial Day at Blog Talk Radio, those of you that listen, and those worldwide. Shout out to you soldiers out there and those of you I know it's in the military, but in law enforcement that's working and to protect and serve us during this holiday, also making sure that we all are safe. And a big shout out to Officer Miller, Officer Jason Miller, who dropped by yesterday morning. Our ADT, well, our security system accidentally went off, and he rushed to our assistance, and thankfully it was just a false alarm, but he wanted to make sure that we were safe and everything. So a big shout out to JPD's officer, Jason, because he wanted to say Jason, a journalist that I know, Jason Miller. Thank you so much, and all the others also that had received that call. That was a false alarm. But I don't know. I was super excited. For some reason, about 30 minutes ago, I was about to fall asleep, and now all of a sudden I've awakened. I had started talking with my sister and my mother, and so now I'm really hyped. But shout out to Ebony Empress, UK. Check her out. Follow her shows. You know, she's always discussing interesting topic, and her next live broadcast will be tomorrow evening, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and she's broadcasting live from none other than the UK. But again, thank you, and those of you that partied with Prince this past weekend, I hope you had a super blast time. Can't wait, Prince, till you start your other legs of your tour come down south. Larry Graham is performing, have two shows tonight in Minneapolis. And I heard in a reporter, when this, you can check out drfunkinberry.com. You know, he keeps us in the know of everything. Prince was asked if he's going to perform with Larry Graham at the North Dakota Club with Larry Graham tonight and tomorrow night. And Prince said, if he asked me to. So I'm quite sure Larry is going to ask Prince to perform with him tonight. Oh, how much I wish I was in Minneapolis. You all are just going to have too much fun. Okay, because I have my goodness. I was raised on Larry Graham. Here's Andre Simone. Bye. Andre Simone, Prince's childhood friend, member of his original band. Remember, at a fact, they grew up playing music together. How many of you all knew Prince was play basketball when he was in school? He and his brother, Dwayne Nelson, the late Dwayne Nelson, they were basketball players. Oh, yeah. I would love to travel. Even though you all, I grew up a tomboy, yay. But I love playing flag football and football. I've yet learned how to really play basketball, but I would love to have my team go against Prince's team and we play a little charity basketball. I think that would be so cool. Really, I put it out there a few years ago, and matter of fact, I've mentioned it to him in correspondence before. But I put it out there before, and I just can imagine who we would have on our team. You know, from celebrities to non-celebrities. I mean, it would be just amazing, huh? But this right now, we have a host of Coffee Shack in the chat room. And so what's up to Coffee Shack? Coffee Shack airs every Thursday morning at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. And he talks about a variety of topics. Another one of my fave shows. When I say a show is like a favorite, I really do mean that. And we love supporting one another, so thank you to Coffee Shack for hollering at us. You all would be amazed at who chats with us in the chat room. really. Wow. If chat room walls could talk, you would be really, really surprised. But speaking of the UK, you all know how much I love to play the song. It's Patriotic Holidays. Here's UK's imprint. America the Beautiful, and you can find her music at ReverbNation.com. Imprint, I-M-P-R-I-N-T.
Oh, beautiful and poison whore, by terror you do reign. Thank you.
Beautiful, so beautiful. Wow. I mentioned on one of my Facebook pages that when patriotic, have you noticed, when patriotic holidays arrive, it seems as if it doesn't matter what political party we're affiliated with. It's our mutual love and respect for the holiday. And this is, oh my God, just a day that we remember those that have lost their lives protecting us. And defending America, and defending the innocent worldwide, defending and protecting those innocent worldwide. And on that status of a comment, I had a response from one of my female veteran Facebook friends, and we really had a pretty cool conversation. There's probably some more comments on there now, but you know. Just being proud Americans or being proud and loving America worldwide, wherever you live. You've never been to America. You know, we appreciate your love for America. And it's just good to have, you know, because there are countries you all know that I love that I've never been to, and I hope to be able to travel to one day. But this is a special holiday. Some people might say, well, why is Memorial Day so special? That in itself is why it's so special, because it's to remember those that lost their lives defending America's principles and love, and for the love of their country. But we're going to profile and talk more regarding the history of Memorial Day also today, which we've been on since 2011, so we've done two previous broadcast regarding Memorial Day. So we will talk again and profile and talk a little bit more regarding the history of Memorial Day. But here's a note from the Mississippi Republican Party Chairman Joe Noseff. He mentions remembering the fallen. Today, families across Mississippi, and I include the country and world, because we have soldiers worldwide and citizens who are worldwide, we'll be celebrating Memorial Day by gathering to enjoy food, fellowship, and the unofficial start of summer. Let us not forget that today has been set aside to remember the men and women whose ultimate sacrifice allowed a great nation to remain free. Our freedom, right? In 1982, during his Memorial Day speech at Arlington National Cemetery, President Reagan said, "The United States and the freedom for which it stands, the freedom for which they died, must endure and prosper. Their lives remind us that freedom is not bought cheaply. It has a cost. It imposes a burden. And just as they whom we commemorate were willing to sacrifice, so too must we, in a less final, less heroic way, be willing to give ourselves." Like President Reagan, we give thanks for those of every generation who gave their lives for our country. We are truly humbled and in awe of their sacrifice. I hope you would join us in paying tribute to our fallen heroes and their families on this Memorial Day. Sincerely, Joe Noseff, Mississippi GOP Chairman. And you can tweet him at Joe Noseff. That's the chairman of Mississippi GOP. The Mississippi GOP's Twitter username is MSGOP, but the chairman is Joenoseff, and that was a really nice Memorial Day message. Right? Right, I know. But again, hey, congratulations to Tony Kanaan. I did watch the Indy 500 yesterday. I've loved NASCAR and car racing since I was a little girl. I'm shopping for a new vehicle, but those that know me know that since I was a little girl, I've always loved NASCAR and car racing, started driving at a young age also. So that was an amazing race on yesterday. And I watched the one in Charlotte, North Carolina on Saturday too. But the Indy 500, that was just amazing. And so in NBA, the Spurs have one game to win, right? And even though I love Memphis Grizzlies, but I know San Antonio, you got to be ready to beat them. And then Miami Heat one game away. So, whoa, that's interesting, isn't it? Can't wait to the NBA Finals. That's what I'm going to say. But I know a lot of you all are betting out there. But, again, thank you for tuning into the show. I know it's a pretty chill broadcast. It's Memorial Day. So, hey. So you're listening to Culture Shock Entertainment Reports, and it is Motivating Monday. It is Memorial Day Monday. And enjoy. God bless. Jay-Z and Beyonce, Crazy in Love. Wow. That's one of my favorite couples, most definitely. Now, I had just received a message from another one of my favorite shows regarding the topic of her next broadcast, and all of a sudden, they did a Criss Angel on me. It, like, vanished. So, let's see. Tiffany Williams-Jallo, host of Relationship 360. Next show would be the topic of relationship rules. Who should pick up the check? And her show usually broadcasts on Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So her topic will be in regard to dating rules. Who should pick up the check? And that should be an interesting broadcast, I must say. So check out Relationship Rules, Who Should Pick Up the Check, hosted by Tiffany Williams-Jallo. Her show is entitled Relationships 360. And that will be on Thursday night. But you can check out her previous air shows. But her live show will be on Thursday. And if you didn't hear her interview with the lead singer of Mint Condition, Stokely, check it out because it was just fantastic. He talked about how he, just his experience in love and how he met and married his wife and all that good stuff. So it was very interesting. Even if you're not a fan of Mint Condition, just to hear that broadcast alone, very, 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 very interesting. album 1999. Here's Six String Woody, South Carolina's own, Easy Street Blues. Out on Reverb Nation, like his fan page. Hey, like my fan page. Listen, my fan page is connected now to my profile. I know some of you probably click and try to reach my Facebook fan page, Custom Shot Ink Reports, and usually have trouble, but now you click on it when you visit the profile and you see the YouTube link and you see the Twitter link. Where if you just click on my Facebook fan page link, it'll take you straight to the fan page, okay? And so like the fan page, and not only will I be sharing more information, I want you, the listeners, to share information also, your thoughts and topics, positive topics and thoughts, and all that good stuff, so we can just, even when the show's not broadcasting live, we can continue on Custom Shot Ink Reports. A fan Facebook page, okay? So I am so glad. Thank you again to Nicholas Snow for really to guide me on how to properly link my fan page to my blogtalkradio.com profile page. So now you don't have to go searching and looking, because I know you all don't have time for all that. All you want to do is click on that link and go straight to it, and now you can do that. So let's get to 100 likes, okay? Thank you so much. Ow! Yes, I'm really enjoying this. It's obvious.
What up, though? It's your host with the most, Big Snoopy Deagle Double G. And you inside this techno dance mixtape brought to you by, that's right, y'all, BLE. Radio station BLE on your dial. You dig? And we're going to kick it off with a little something like this.
Native Mississippi, where I'm at, Magnolia, Mississippi. I know Long Beach, raised in Long Beach, but he was born in Mississippi, and we love us Snoop Dogg down here in his home state, his birth state. But I'm reading an email from one of my acting coaches, the unstoppable casting director, worked for HBO, what, like 14 years? And general to an army of unstoppable actors, Amy Jo Berman. So a big shout out to Amy Jo. Thank you so much. You are amazing. I need to catch up on some studies, but that's what she's here. That's why she assists us, to keep us on our toes and all that. But just wanted to shout her out since I was looking at her email like right now. Having an interesting conversation in the chat room regarding sports. And my friend in the chat room and I are talking, and my friend in the chat room predicts San Antonio versus Miami in the finals. You know, that's what I'm thinking. You know, they both have one game left apiece, so you know that's what we're thinking. I know other things can happen to be forced to go to Game 7, but it just looks this way. San Antonio's sweeping and all that. But he says that San Antonio will win. And you all know I'm a fan of both teams. You all know I love my Dallas Mavericks. I was reading last night an article from Bleacher Report from Topics.com where Mark Cuban said he is not ruling out getting Chris Paul and Dwight Howard. Hey, we at Mavs Nation is not ruling out getting those guys. I had a dream, you all know this, a few seasons ago, that Dwight Howard became a Mavs. But I was at practice, and he walked in. And I, for some reason, I believe that dream is going to come to reality. But Mark Cuban said he's not giving up on that. But back to San Antonio and Miami. My friend in the chat room predicts that San Antonio wins. You know, I'm in Jackson, and so I'm a big supporter of teams like Memphis and teams like Oklahoma. But when I heard that Memphis was playing San Antonio, I was like, oh, my. Because San Antonio, that team has been consistently good for many, many years. That team is just amazing. They cannot be reckoned with. And as much as I love the Heat, and the guys listen to the show, so you all come to the chat room and chat or call us, you know, whenever we're on. I believe in the Heat. I support the Heat. But the San Antonio Spurs, they are serious business, always. And my friend in the chat room said it will be a great series. And, yes, it will be. You know, there's some of us that don't watch the finals until final time. And you know, everybody, if you love NBA or just watch during the finals or during the championship game or what, this is going to be a hot, hot final series. I agree with my friend in the chat room. Wow. I mean, this is just amazing. Miami, San Antonio, veterans and rookies. I mean, both teams are filled with veterans and then also newcomers. So that's just amazing because sometimes we see maybe a younger team playing an older team. You know, like the Friday I was talking about the team that has the oldest starting lineup. Both of these teams are pretty much an equal. So, wow. Okay, my friend in the chat room says that Parker is going to give Miami the Blues and San Antonio is a championship team as well. And that's what it's all about. That's the cream of the crop. Are you that championship team? You know, it would be, I know, some of us say that we want to see a repeat. And repeat might happen. But San Antonio, they don't play. I mean, I don't know. Those guys are I don't know. They're superheroes. I mean, and you're talking about teamwork. Wow. It's the whole team. It consists of the whole team. Like when the Mavericks won their championship title a few years ago, it was a team effort. The San Antonio Spurs, in my opinion, always a team effort. And that's why they're so good, because it's always a team effort. It's not like this player is, yeah, we have our franchise players, but this player doesn't outshine the team. We're still a team regardless of who the franchise players are on this team. So that's what's so cool about them. Here is, because we can talk on and on. It seems like I want to say something else about sports. There's been a lot of sports news happening. And you can call in 714-409-0614. But then also, I know we're supposed to be profiling the history of Memorial Day, too, and that's always fun when we're profiling. Since Larry Graham is doing a hot show tonight, let's shout him out and play a little Larry Graham featuring you know who.
Back then, what I know right now. that have. Would have done better.
Ooh, we should have, could have, would have done better. If you're in Minneapolis and you don't go see Larry Graham tonight and tomorrow night at the North Dakota Club, I don't know what to say. And Prince might appear. Prince was asked the other night, this weekend, hey, are you performing with Prince? Prince said, if he asked me, 9 times out of 10, Larry Graham would say, hey, you coming to perform with me, right? Here's another one of my favorite Minneapolis guys, Chris Starr, Beautiful Stranger. Again, I mistakenly say the North Dakota Club. It is the Dakota Jazz Club. Just wanted to correct myself.
Stranger.
Karen and I in the chat room, we are talking about history. And I'm a history buff, and obviously my friend in the chat room is a history buff also, and it's just amazing. He mentioned that there's a series on the History Channel being broadcasted called The Men Who Built America, and we both mentioned how we need to be taught more regarding blacks in our wars. He mentioned a particular war, and I mentioned that as a little girl, I read a book called Blacks in America's Wars. That was an interesting book. My older brother had shared this book with me, and it's not a very thick book, but a very interesting read regarding blacks in America's wars. And that is a good book to really get you started into studying that topic of blacks in America's wars and in battles. And just like when we were talking about Cinco de Mayo and learned so much about Cinco de Mayo. And then also my friend in the chat room mentioned that they named the men who built America, Vanderbilt, Carnegie, Rockefeller, J.P. Morgan, and all that. Then he also mentioned where people, Alan Matisse too. You know, he's talking about the ones who built America. Those, but History Channel, the History Channel, and history and reading history and studying history and doing as much as you can to learn about history is so important. And definitely our school books. Need to be more inclusive of a lot of topics and a lot of subject matters and a lot of people, because all of us are descendants of immigrants other than Native Americans. So more and more and more of our stories need to be told. Even the American Indian stories need to be told more in honesty. Also, my friend in the chat room says that the History Channel left out a whole lot too. They failed to mention many of them profited off of the slave trade. So that's a good point. Yes, it is. It is a very good point. Some people don't realize that Wall Street itself was where slaves were traded. Slaves of all races, not just black, but different races and women and children. So. Yeah, it's a lot of history that a lot of us need to learn. Even those of us that call ourselves history buffs, we don't know enough. We constantly need to read up, and that's why it's good to have chats and conversations like we're having now in the chat room and live on broadcast. And continue talking on also on the fan page. Now on this profile at blogtalkradio.com, all you have to do is click the link to the Culture Shock Entertainment Report Facebook fan page and like it and share topics and share your thoughts and share what you like, future topics you would like to hear on the show, okay? Because definitely working on the improvement of the delivery of the broadcast. And again, I thank Nicholas Snow for being my virtual trainer this weekend. Had an awesome good time and learned a wealth of information. He taught me so much. I'm checking out an opinion piece at the Washington Post, and it's entitled Veterans Charities Need Scrutiny. And it's authored by Bob Dole, we know him, and it was published on May the 26th. Bob Dole is a former Senate Majority Leader and was a Republican nominee for president in 1996. You all remember when he campaigned against Clinton. He was awarded two Purple Hearts, and that's the year I voted for Clinton. He was awarded two Purple Hearts and the Bronze Star by his Army service in World War II. Memorial Day boasts a jumble of emotions. Pride and military service mingled with grief over the human toll. This is Bob Dole's writing. And this is about the charity. So that's why if you have not read this article at the Washington Post, that I'm sharing this. Exacted by war and profound gratitude for whatever it is in the American character that inspires heroes in every generation to risk everything for the country they love more than life itself. Over the years, their civilian brethren have expressed appreciation. However imperfectly, through their generous support of charities assisting veterans, especially those wounded in body or spirit. I am a lifelong beneficiary of this impulse to give. When I needed it most, my friends and neighbors in Russell, Kansas, raised funds to help offset my hospital bills. from half a dozen post-war surgeries. More recently, I have shared medical facilities with soldiers returning from Iraq and Afghanistan, some no older than I was in the spring of 1945, and all deserving of rehabilitative care on par with their sacrifice. Many would no doubt find themselves as dependent on private philanthropy as I was when someone placed an empty cigar box, the nucleus of the Bob Dole Fund, in a Russell storefront almost 70 years ago. I see our friend Ebony Impress has logged in also. Today, the business of charitable fundraising is vastly more sophisticated. This is a blessing and a curse. Excellent charities succeed because their resources are not tied up in fundraising, says the highly regarded online guide Charity Navigator. Unfortunately, many veterans' charities tend to allocate more than their civilian counterparts to administration, direct mail, and other for-profit fundraising services. In most such cases, the problem is simple and inexperienced, compounded by the belief that enthusiasm for the cause will ensure success without resorting to exorbitant overhead and fundraising expenditures. Then there are groups like the impressively named American Veterans. Ebony, I seen your call. I didn't know who it was, but I'm headed your direction. Then there are groups like the impressively named American Veterans Relief Foundation, a prime target of congressional investigators in 07-08 hearings. The foundation raised $3.6 million, of which less than 1% went to assist vets. Excuse me. That is scary. The American Veterans Relief Foundation raised $3.6 million, but only 1% went to assist vets. It was an extreme case, to be sure, but not a unique one. Those hearings raised awareness of the problem without offering a legislative solution. A donor's bill of rights could, for example, require that prospective contributors be told up front how much of their gift will support a charity's stated mission. Think of it as consumer protection for charitable donors. Enactment isn't likely. However, as courts up to and including the Supreme Court have frowned on fundraising regulations as potential violations of the First Amendment, oversight of charitable giving has been left largely to the states, where many attorneys general have stepped up efforts in recent years to identify fraud or misuse of donated funds. These are crimes subject to prosecution, unlike a bad business model, poor judgment, or excessive payments to telemarketers and other solicitors. The good news is that media coverage has also helped keep this issue front and center since the congressional hearings into the American Veterans Relief Foundation. The bad news is that the media have no shortage of alleged scams to expose. Earlier this month, a trial date was set for the purported mastermind behind the U.S. Navy Veterans Association, a bogus charity with a non-existent board of directors and a post office box where headquarters is reported to have built unsuspecting donors of more than $100 million. Wow. That's not any peanuts either, huh? That's some big money. Fortunately, there are plenty of honest, admirable run veterans charities deserving of support. Yeah, and those other fraud organizations give good charities a bad name, you know. My own list includes, here's a list of admirable run veteran charities. My own list includes Honor Flight Network, which brings World War II vets to Washington to visit their memorial on the mall. And Fisher House Foundation provides free housing to service members, families at dozens of military and VA medical centers. This enables relatives to be with their loved ones in uniform when their presence is needed most. If you want to help service men and women in their transition to civilian life, exercise the same diligence you apply to any insignificant purchase or investment. Don't hesitate to keep the tires or demand the equivalent of a test drive. If you're contacted by fundraisers, be prepared to ask some questions in return. Confirm the organization's tax-exempt status. Find out how much of your gift will go to the intended recipient and how much to administration or fundraising. But here, ask the group to put its appeal in writing and then review its financial stats and spending record on websites such as Charity Navigator. As Ronald Reagan said in a different context, trust but verify. Check them out before you write a check. I can't imagine a better way to observe Memorial Day than to support those who have worn their country's uniform while denying others who would enrich themselves in a service of greed. That is a very good, informative writing by Bob Dole. So, like he said, the words of Ronald Reagan, trust but verify. So when you are making donations, large or small, especially the large ones, definitely verify. But even small, I mean, if I'm going to, I have a zero budget. So if I'm going to make a donation, I want to make sure that that donation goes to where it's supposed to go, you know? So that is a very informative and well-written opinion piece by Bob Dole. Also, so best wishes to him and his wife, Elizabeth Dole. Also, and also I have been checking out tweets from the president and the first lady regarding Memorial Day. And if you're not following the first couple, what are you thinking about? And, you know, you can visit their website, whitehouse.gov, also to stay to know of everything that's going on at the White House. Also, Ebony Empress is online. So let's say hello to her. And then we're still going to profile and talk more about the history, the historical beginnings of Memorial Day. And I've been having a blast of a good time talking with my friend in the chat room. And he also added that when you have time to look at some of your universities who had to apologize about the slave trade. Oh, yeah. So this is a conversation that goes on and on and on. But what's important is to talk about, you know, our history. And Ebony Empress is in England. And to talk about the international history and world history in itself is good. And the U.S. and U.K.'s love for one another, too, and history is just amazing. I love networking with my U.K. friends because one of my friends, Carl Perkins, who he and I both would like to get parts on Dallas, he said he'll give up his right arm. But I don't know if I give him my right arm. But he always shared a lot of historic information with me regarding the history of the U.K. And he often surprised me because it's just like what my friend and I talking about in the chat room. There's some things that I did not know. And, you know, honestly, but I'm like, oh, my God. But Ebony Empress is on, and I thank you all also for your support and tuning in to the show, and we will continue also talking about the history of Memorial Day and historical beginnings also. But let's see what's going on with Ebony. She had a broadcast this morning, a Rise and Shine broadcast this morning, and her next live broadcast will be tomorrow evening at 5 Eastern Standard Time. I'm going to make it my business not to miss that broadcast because I have been behind. You know, I've been on hiatus, and I have been out the loop. And so I want to make it my business not to miss her live broadcast on tomorrow evening at 5 Eastern Standard Time, which will be 4 my time. And close to midnight, her time. That's like a midnight show for her in the UK. Okay, here's Ebony Empress. So she's probably saying, Beth, be quiet and let me talk. Hello, Ebony Empress.
Hi, how are you? Oh, my God. We haven't spoken for a while.
I was getting excited when I talked with you.
I know. I was like, I have not spoken to you for so long, and it's bank holiday here, and I thought I need to be around and make sure that I catch your show. So,
don't you miss my southern accent. Don't you miss my southern accent, I know.
Yeah, definitely. No, it's really good to connect with you. And how has the show's been going? I have been so busy trying to put out 4 shows a week that, you know, I don't always get to listen to all of them. But I occasionally get to peep in and listen to some of the stuff you're putting out. So how is it going?
Well, I had been on hiatus, so I'm pretty much back now. And I had an amazing are you doing the virtual training? Because I was teamed up with Nicholas Snow this past weekend. So are you teaching or taking, or are you teaching a training course?
No, I'm not teaching one.
I'm taking one.
I'm not a veteran yet. But I'm going to take one on Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
okay.
I
don't know. So I was, I didn't pick who I wanted to coach me. And, you're like one of my favorites. And, my goodness, Nicholas Snow is one of my favorite hosts here at Blog Talk Radio. And he coached me. So I recommend him highly. Also, I don't know who's coaching you on Friday. But Nicholas really, he just hit. He's only been on air 10 months. And he has hit a million listeners. A million.
Wow.
He has surpassed 1 million listeners.
Well. Wow.
But I have heard about some of your interesting topics in recent weeks. You've been really going in on the topics.
Yeah, we've been trying. Been trying to do something a little bit different. I really just follow my heart. So if there's something that comes up in a conversation and it makes me feel like I want to talk about it, that's where I go. So it has been questions that have come up in the course of conversations. Some of it, the relationship stuff, has been sparked by my own relationship recently. But, you know, it's all good stuff. It's all good. I haven't even put the show up for tomorrow night. In fact, I came online to actually put a show out. And I'm half and half on the title, so I thought, I need to give it more thought. Because until I'm really, really, there, then I tend not to put something up. But, I'd rather not have a show than have one that wasn't really, that I don't think will spark people's imagination. So one of the things that has been in the media recently has been about rape. And it's been quite a big topic in the UK over the last few days, when is rape rape? And, someone recently told me a story of someone a friend who married someone, and then his ex-wife filed summons in court for rape in the marriage. She went until she was divorced from the guy, and given that they were divorced and then living together after the divorce, even she still waited until he married someone else to then put in a charge for rape. So
she had been married to him, and so she said it was rape within their marriage.
Yeah, rape within their marriage.
Oh,
yet she had not, she had not said anything previous to him getting married to someone else. And the minute he married someone else,
and when he divorced, she had not said that it had been raped within their marriage.
No, she hadn't said anything previous.
She hadn't said anything until after he married someone else. Okay.
When he married someone else, then. The minute they came back from honeymoon, there was a letter on the table saying, he needs to get legal representation because he had raped his wife, ex-wife.
Wow.
And so
this case is in the UK?
Yeah, this is a case in the UK.
Okay. I have to check this out.
Yeah, and it's not unusual for women to now be saying, I have been raped in a marriage.
Yeah, because more American women are coming out. Because more American women are coming out, talking about, I was forced to have sex and within the marriage and stuff. But wow, she waited till after they were divorced and after he married someone else. Wow.
Yeah. And then said I was raped in the marriage. So could you imagine the impact on the new marriage, on the new spouse, to hear, an ex-wife be putting that out. So, it's made me think, about that. I'm still thinking about whether that should be the topic for tomorrow night, but I'm giving it thought. I'm giving it some thought first before it goes out.
What are the thoughts of the people, of the public?
Well, a lot of people, this case has now gone very public, but a lot of people, obviously, you know, will straightway say, well, you know, it's possible. It's possible. You never know, you know, what this guy was doing.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he did rape her. Who knows? The other...
You and I both know. I mean, I'm over 40. We both know this. There's some people out there that think that if, when you're married, you should be available for sex at all times. And no means no. I'm tired. I don't feel like it. But there are some people that feel that if you're married to me, male and female, that if you're married to me, then sex should be on call.
That happens.
And if a person says no, then that's, I don't feel like it, and you still force it, and not in a romantic way. You know, cause there's a romantic way to convince somebody to have sex with you. But then there's the forceful way that's not funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's a hard one. See, that's a hard one. So it's one of the ones I haven't yet tackled, but I'm thinking about it. But, yeah, it comes up now and again. I think it will happen in your country, too, that more and more women are starting to use that as a way to also get back at ex-partners. Because, you know...
Well, was my concern. That's my concern. Like, is she doing that to be spiteful, or is it true?
Yeah.
You know, I like that you brought up the fact that people mentioned that, yeah, it could happen. But then there are some people wondering, well,
It's a hard one. It's a hard one. So something we might talk about tomorrow night. But, yeah, I've had all sorts of topics we've been talking about. We had the Diary of Black Men on the theatre group who are coming to the UK. And I don't know if you listened to that one, but that was really quite interesting.
I've made note to listen to that one. It seems like a very interesting broadcast. They've already been on, right?
Yes, we've already done that one. And it really just was the guys from the whole cast really got on. And, you know, they were explaining about the characters in this play and how they're trying to impact black relationships, you know, between, you know, women and men, you know, how do we help each other to love each other and deal with some of the issues that come up between ourselves. So, you know, that was interesting, speaking to the
guys. Wow. Well, how do we deal, I always hear, and I'm opening up more to being more trusted, but something that I hear often is trust. So what do you say when how can we, I guess by helping each other we can become more trusting, but what do you say regarding trust? People that are dealing with trust issues. And then trust issues, and there's the small ones and then there's the major ones. You know?
Absolutely.
How do people deal with trust issues?
Trust is probably the biggest single factor that kind of prevents us from getting together with each other or even sustaining those relationships. I think trust, because, you know, it's not even so much what you've experienced. In a lot of cases, it's what other people you know, what they've experienced, and often that puts
that is
you
so
off.
True, because other people's experiences are scary. And you'd be like, damn, I hope that don't happen to me. I done been through some stuff. But God dang, some stories out here, I'd be like, oh, Lord.
It's so true. You're like, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to be burned.
I know. It's like a horror film. I'm like, oh, Lord, I thought I would go through some stuff. Woo!
So, yeah, that's the problem. So the question is, do you want to have your own story or are you going to feed from other people's stories? Because I think sometimes we're so affected by other people's stories. I mean, that might be the show tomorrow night, other people's stories.
Oh, so we need to start minding our own. So what you're saying is we need to start minding our own business. And if we mind our own business, maybe some things can work.
Yeah.
Because with $2,
like,
and then
yeah, it's true. Your relationship is not my relationship. So why do I have to take on your story, right? That's the problem. That is a serious problem that a lot of us can't have. We don't have our own relationships. We really do. We do not have those. So I think particularly those of us who are girlfriends, I give you an experience. So I've been dating this guy now for like a few months. Well, a couple of months, but I've known him for years and years.
Okay,
and,
so you guys are still working. You guys are still working on some things.
Yeah, we're still working
on
some stuff.
The gentleman... okay, good. I was wondering. Okay.
So I've kind of moved it on now. I introduced him recently to one of my, some of my friends, some of my girlfriends. And one of my girlfriends who, you know, met him last night. We went out to a bar together and, you know, like you do with your girls. And then she kind of, you know, this morning she said to me, well, you know what, I'm really happy for you, but I'm not happy that he's taken away my friend. You know, I feel like he's taken away you as my friend. And I'm like, what the hell is that?
That's
about?
Another topic,
like,
too. That's another topic, too. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, how do you deal with friends who believe that when you have a new relationship, you know, they cannot continue to have a relationship with you. So somehow either they've got to affect the relationship that you're in so that you're not taken away, as it were. you know, what do they? How do you establish a continuation with these women? Because, you know, you're all single girls together. Now we're no longer single girls together. It's a different relationship. And they just, you
and
know,
then,
aren't
and,
able
and now
to
you're
handle
divide,
it.
Now you're
you
dividing
to.
That quality time.
Yeah. Yeah. So now, do I need to choose between my friends and the person that I'm dating? Because, you know, my girls are now like, we don't want you, you know, to be with someone else. Or, you know, it's just so mad. It's just so mad. Yeah. So it's just something I'm coming across. And it may be something that we will talk about tomorrow night. But, yeah,
Ooh, I'm definitely not missing. I am not going to miss that show tomorrow.
Exactly.
You need to call me on my private line and say, you better not miss the show. I mean, my goodness.
They say that real friends respect your relationship, but it's not about them respecting it, because it is like, I'm happy. They say the right things. I'm happy for you. I'm happy to see that you're with someone. But underneath, nobody really wants to see you do something that they've been struggling to do. Now, it's not, I don't know if you call it jealousy or what it is, but it's like, now you are no longer one of us. So how do I stay friends with you when this person has your heart? So it's, you know, so previously with those girls, I'd be sharing my confidences, you know, we'd talk about guys or whatever. But when you stop talking, they know this is a serious one. Do you know what I mean?
Wow.
So once they realize that this is different, this is one you're not talking about, this is one you're protecting because, you know, the relationship is different, you lose them. You start to lose your friends. Are they your real friends? I guess that's a test. That's when the real test comes about between the relationship, because that's when you know whether those people are your real girlfriends. Because, you know, it's hard. It's hard. You know, because we all talk about, like, I want to meet that special person.
I think sometimes friends are happy for you, but sometimes they feel neglected. You know, they're missing out on, like what happened to their quality time. Now the friend in the chat room, you're in the chat room too, he says that, he says that real friends will respect your relationship, but then he also says that call it for what it is, jealousy. But I think some friends, it's not jealousy. I think it's sometimes they might feel neglected and feel like, wow, you know,
I
really miss my quality time.
Yeah, because one of my girls, we went on holiday together, so we did a girls' holiday away. And it was like, you know, we did the girly thing. And she was like, you know, when she met my friend, she was like, we're still going on a girly weekend and we're still going to go away and we don't need you. And I was like, what? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going anywhere without him. You know what I'm saying? But she said it. You know, I was like, no.
Oh,
you know,
my goodness. The friend, hurry up and call in for the, hurry up and call in. Our friend in the chat room said he's gonna call in. I hope his call gets in before the live streaming stop. Oh, he got in.
Okay.
I guess he hit a nerve. Hello, my friend.
How are you doing?
How are you? Good.
I'm doing pretty good. The reality is you got to call a spade a spade. That's jealousy. Everybody going to start off by saying, I'm happy for you. I am so glad that you're with someone. And as time went on, they start treating you different, talking to you different. All of a sudden, they start having a problem with the individual all of a sudden, or look for every negative thing. If someone is happy for you and they're confident in themselves, they're going to be truly happy for you. But that's the point is, we live in a day and age where people are not happy with themselves, period.
Yeah.
That's true.
And if you were the millionaire, well, hey, at least I get a chance to do a little bit more. But other people view it a little different. They view you as the enemy and view you as something. They put you on a pedestal that you don't even actually put on because of the inferiority complex. If somebody
Don't you think also the friends might feel neglected and like, I miss my quality time?
That ain't my problem because this is how I look at it. You, listen, I'm being honest. If they feel neglected, then they got a much deeper problem, and I'm not that. Listen, I can't be around a person 24 hours a day. Granted, we are close, but listen, when you go to sleep at night, you're going into your own la-la land. I can't go to sleep with you. The reality,
that's
if you
right.
feel that you got a problem, I am not your problem. If you that insecure, then you need to really do some sorrow searching, soul searching, because you got a problem and you're trying to mirror image that on me. I'm sorry. That's your problem.
Yeah.
Ain't mine.
And
if you
true.
If you feel that way, then you're fixing to contract yourself out from my life altogether if you're not prayerful. And that's why if you watch husbands and wives, especially their parents, well, I don't think the guy that you're with is good enough for you. Well, I think the husband that you're with ain't good enough for you either, but yeah, this is my daddy. I got to deal with it.
That's a good point. That's a good point because sometimes people, I've mentioned this before, sometimes people say to others, I don't see what you see in him or her. Or what do you see in him or her? Just like you just said, some people say, I don't think that person's good enough. That's
you
a
know,
good point. But what about your mate?
That's what I'm saying. And a lot of times when people say they feel that person ain't good enough for you, they see something about that person that reminds them of themselves. Perfect.
That's deep.
Them daddies, especially them daddies who got them daughters, the first thing come out their mouth is, that guy is a dog. No, because he reminds you of you.
Wow.
It's the truth.
That is a good point. That's deep.
Good point.
That's really deep. Now you're my friend in the chat room, but tell, introduce yourself to Ebony and to the listeners, my friend.
I am Force 259.
Okay.
I'm Don Finero. That's my name out of Houston, Texas. Houston.
Oh, Houston. I love Texas. Love Houston. You know, I always have my friends from Dallas and Houston on the call. Now, what's their name again?
Don Pinero.
Don Pinero.
Don Pinero.
Like
I told Ebony, I said he's calling in. I told Ebony, I said he's calling in. I hope his call can get in. I'm so glad your call made through.
It.
I wasn't planning to call until y'all touched on that issue, and that kind of got my attention. And I can get in on this. This thing, I just got to get in on this. Because I'm sure if it's either your friend going to have a problem with the person that you're with, or it's going to be your family going to have a problem with the person that you're with. But then when you look at their life real close,
and that's a good topic you bring up. How do you handle that? I had to use bad people to handle that.
I can. It's very simple. Go on with your life. They can't get on the bus with you. Well, they're going to have to go catch another bus because I'm gone. Because you sit around. If you sit around and try to impress everybody, you'd be by yourself in life. You'd be one living miserable life. I can't live for people, and people can't live for me. Either you're going to be happy with me or you're not. But one thing is certain. This world was going around in a circle before I came here, and it'll be moving when I'm long gone. So what I'm trying to say is if you're not going to be happy for me, well, guess what? You're just not going to be a part of my life because I'm going to move on with or without you. Either join with the party or be left behind. That's just the way it is. And I'm sorry for being cold, but they're actually going to do you more harm if you don't go on about your life. You got to find out what makes you happy. I can't dictate about what is right or not right for you because guess what? I can't be an expert in your life when I'm not a great expert in my own life. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
We got too many people trying to be folks expert of other folks' lives when they're poor expert in their own life. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You change the person within your own skin. Don't try to change me. If I'm with this person because I want to be with this person, if you don't like it, well, that's your problem. It ain't mine. Deal with it. That's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
That's true.
But I'm being real.
That is true. You are preaching. And that's something I have been meditating on, too, about happiness.
I learned that from my lady. I learned some of this from her. She taught me very well. Boy, did she taught me. She still teaches.
Wow.
That's
good. Have you two been together a long time?
Oh, we've been together for a while. She's been breaking her foot off of my back. No. I want y'all to hear from her.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know what's
What is the secret between the success of the, what is the secret of your successful relationship?
Keep people out, friends out, and money out, and you'll be fine.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And you two, and we were just talking about trust. So trust is real important, right?
Trust is very important because if there's no trust, then there's no relationship. You know, why should I be with someone or have someone in my life that I don't trust? And after a while, if there's no trust, then, you know, the whole thing is going to go down. So the first thing, you know, you have to be able to trust that individual, not by what, you know, most of us try to trust people because of status quo, what they drive, how they dress, where they live. But all that could be inside. You have to learn the person from within, not based upon even what happened in their past, because all of us have one of those. So what we have to do is go from where we are and, you know, and make it work from there. I always tell him this, is that I loved him regardless of what he made. I loved him, regardless of what he drove. But what we can do is, if I'm making $5 an hour and you're making $5, we put it together, we got 10, we can make it. But if you go by what he makes and then what he don't make, it's a lot of people, you know, walking around, you know, maybe they're tycoons or millionaires, but they don't know how to treat one another. I'd rather be a relationship where we are, you know, we're small, but we have trust and we love and respect one another, than to be with somebody who can give me all the materialistic things but treat me like a dog. There's no peace.
Yeah.
So I want to go to bed at night. I want to know that, you know, we can work things out, not because, well, you got enough money, then you can wipe me off or leave. We have to be there for one another regardless. And what I tell people is this, I didn't get with him based upon his past because I have one, and that's why it's called a past. We have to leave the past behind and move forward. But if we're going to continue to dwell in the past, you'll never be able to see your future because your past is robbing you of that. So you have to let it go. So what we try to do is, we can only talk out of experiences. I've had people say, you know, he's not for you, she's not for you. And I told him at the end of the day, I love your family, but I'm not marrying your whole darn family. I'm marrying you. So at the end of the day, it's what you think about me, and it's what I think about you, and that's what we're going to be. So those that are happy can be happy. Those are not, like you said, that's not our problem. That's theirs. They made that a problem. But we have to move on with our life because if we live life trying to please mom, dad, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, friend, best friend, then guess what? We're not living our life. We're living a life for them, and we're going to be miserable.
Yeah.
Oh, that is
absolutely
so true.
Right. You are on
and
point.
And South Ebony, Ebony is in the UK. She's a relationship expert. Any thoughts to what she just shared? That is some amazing information.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely on point. You're absolutely correct. I think sometimes we're so busy trying to satisfy other people, and they don't have it right in their own lives either. Do you know what
exactly.
I mean? They don't know what they're doing half the time. They're just making mistakes and hoping that they get it right. And even, you know, it's interesting. I was talking to a friend today, and even those people who say to you, I've been together 40, 50 years, if you went back through those, you know, and looked at the detail of the experience, often it was not plain sailing, right? They went through
a lot
of ups and downs, and they had to, you know, to work on that relationship big time to still be there 40 years later. So nobody has the real, you know, the prescription for what it takes to make it work. But, you know, if you find someone and you have that harmony and you feel you have that alignment, work with it. And don't, you know, decide to be with that person strictly based on the judgments of others. Because long after those people are gone, you will still be with that person if that's where you want to be. You know, so, you know, to me it's important. Friends want to give you their, you know, their advice and whatever, but I always take it with a pinch of salt, you know, because can you take your own advice is the question. And often the people who are giving you advice are not even in relationships themselves or able to have successful relationships. So, you know, I hear you, but I'm doing what I'm going to do anyway.
Wow. And John's lady, what's your name? Because our relationship expert, Ebony, is going through a dilemma. She's in a nice place in a relationship, but her friend girls, they're happy for her, but they're like, you don't have time for us anymore.
Yeah.
So what about those type of friends? How do you deal with those kind of friends?
Is she still there?
Yes.
I think we've lost her.
She's still here.
She's a thinker. You know, think before you speak.
What I think about, you know, seriously, as I was listening to that, when you come down to your friend girl, you have to understand they have to be in their place and you have to be in yours. But again, if people live life on this, if I can control everything about you, then it empowers me. I can say I did that.
Yeah.
But it's not about that. And so what happens when it comes down to our relationship, if you're connected to people that's trying to control your life, then that's not a connection you want to be in. And that's why people get mad because I can no longer control you.
Oh, my God. That is a good point.
Yeah,
it's about control.
It's about control. You know, and if I'm trying to connect you with someone that I think is right for you, you might not think they're right for you. And so since you're not going to connect with them, then we're going to lose friendship. Well, that's not a friendship at the beginning because it's supposed to be a do or die thing. That's supposed to be your ace kum boom through good or bad, not because I don't do what you want me to do. So what you might think is best for me, I can't see it that way. And I have to do what's right for me, you know. And that's, you know, that's how it has to be. And sometimes,
I'm teed up, and what we're looking at together is a magic traffic. Why is it a magic traffic?
Is that you, Ebony?
Sorry.
Okay. I thought that
sorry,
was you.
Sorry, guys. Sorry, my laptop went off and started doing its own thing. So I'm sorry.
Okay.
Oh. And so, you know, as I tell people all the time, too, is that you have to know within yourself what's good and what's bad for you. But like she was saying, the relationship coach was saying, is that going through life, I don't care how many years you've been together, how many months, how many weeks, second or day, is going to have some issues. But you have to know within each other how we're going to work with these problems. I mean, there's not a perfect marriage. There's not a perfect relationship. Every day of your life is going to be work. And you got to get ready to work. A lot of The reason that we have divorces and things like this or relationship end so quickly is because the person didn't come with a mind to work. When you come in a mind to work, you got to work to learn me. I got to work to learn you. We got to come back and put our differences aside, our cultures aside, and learn each other for who we are. and then work from there. But every day of our life, in a relationship or marriage, there's going to be work, and people don't want to commit to work. They want the easy way
And patience is important. You got to have that, you know, work on, if you're not a patient person, work on that patience.
That's true. That's true.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is good, because I loved it when your man said, and I learned that from my lady. And wow, you have, I know the listeners are loving this. Now, what is John's lady's name?
I'm Gwen.
Gwen, okay, nice to meet you. Wow, you have shared a lot in this short time.
So
you can still be a loyal friend, a loyal family member, but what's important is your happiness, and your family and your friends should be happy to see you happy.
That's right, but that's not always the case.
No,
that's,
I agree.
That's not always the case. So, you know, most of the time, our parents want to pick who we think or who they thought is good for us. But, you know, that's not what I don't see the same thing. And that's what we got to understand. I have my own eyes, ears, nose, and mouth, and I have to use those things that he's given me, you know. But a lot of
times.
That's
a good point you mentioned that, because that's like an unwritten rule of arranged marriages here in America. You know,
true.
In American culture. Like, one family maybe think, well, my son or daughter should marry this person in this family.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they do their best to put you with this person.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Or like you were just saying, that they want to pick with you. But
right.
Why didn't you, why aren't you with this person, and why are you with that person?
Mm-hmm. I tell them this, a person can have, you know, have all the money, but I've met a lot of people with money and don't like their responsibility. I've met a person. You know, they said, well, you got the married man with a job. I've met a lot of men with jobs don't take care of their responsibility.
That's a good point.
You got to marry a man that, you know, he's driving this. I've seen a lot of them that's driving it, but the wife never gets to drive it. So I don't go by that. I go by what we're going to share together, you know, and I've seen a man did not have the money that the parents thought he should be making. But he made the best husband because he took his marriage and relationship for real. He loved her for real, and that's how they're still together. But it's not all about the dollars. It's about who you are, and when y'all come together as a unified body, what we're going to do for one another. And then the rest, with it, like they say, at the end of the day, you got to let it be gone. If not, you're going to take what they're saying, and you're going to come home, and y'all going to be sitting there talking, and y'all had a wonderful day, and all of a sudden you're thinking about what they said, and you're going to destroy a good thing. And so we go back and say, you know, what happened? You know, well, he didn't make what my parents thought he should have made. But then all of a sudden you hear that he's doing this and they're doing this. You're like, my God, what did I just miss out on? So you got to go by your own expectations and what you want and realize, now, I'm not trying to marry my daddy. I'm not trying to marry nobody like my daddy, because everybody is different, and they come from two different people, two different generations. I have to marry him for him and love him for him. So, like I tell my husband all the time, if you come in and you lose your job, you're still my king. If you come in and you make $5 an hour, you're still my king. If you come in and you respect me, you're sure my king. So at the end of the day, regardless of how you look at it, he's still the king. But we don't treat him like, well, we want the queenship, but we don't want to treat him like the kings when they come home. So it's
me. Amen.
How you value one another, you know, and I value him and he values me. Now, the value I place on him is not going to be the same value that you place, because he don't mean that much to you. But to me, he's all that. So that's what you have to look at.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, you're one, you're two, and you're one. Yeah, exactly. Wow. That is good advice.
I guess he has something to say, so I'm going to relinquish my phone back to him.
Thank you. I hope this is not the last time. I hope we talk with you again soon. Wednesday we will talk about relationships also. So we'd love to talk with you both again. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Happy Memorial. I don't know if you all celebrating. celebrating. Wow. That was awesome. I love it when he said, "Well, my lady taught me that," and he didn't hesitate. He put it on the phone. Well, you all can talk to her. That was so neat.
You know,
hello. Oh, we love Gwen. We love your queen.
I know y'all do. I love it too. The thing is, it's how you talk to a person. You know, sometimes one of the most. I remember earlier your friend Ebony Empress mentioned about that rape case in.
London.
The reality
that's a
is
case. That's a story. That's a story that's breaking now. So you know it's going to be all over our news soon.
And okay. But there's something more egregious going on that's even worse than rape called verbal abuse.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Because if you listen to the show, you know I've talked about my good and my not-so-good relationships, and that verbal abuse is something. Physical abuse is not good, but verbal abuse, that gets into your psyche.
When you say something to a person so hurtful, you can never take that back, the dehumanizing that goes on. You know, I believe it was a major university that did a research on negative words. They said that one negative words is 16 times more powerful than one positive. They said it will take 17 people to come behind that negative word to speak life into your life positively just to neutralize that one negative. 17 people.
Is that?
Just kill
oh!
a negative word. Yes.
Was it 17 words?
17
positive
people.
Words replace that one negative. Yeah, wow.
So
and that's why it's important to pray, to have information, to some people think people are crazy when they talk positive talk. But the point you just made that point when you maybe hear negative, you don't even have to be a person that hear the negative stuff. But we hear negative stuff in the news every day. It's important to have positive affirmations and to talk positively to yourself and motivate yourself and pray to God, pray to Allah, Jehovah, to be strong.
Look how powerful.
And that's why Zig Ziglar and Tony Robbins are so popular because they have to, you know, people have to reprogram themselves to think positive.
Yeah. But look how powerful words are. Look, it took that one woman to say she was raped to mess that man's life up. See what words can do?
Yeah.
And one thing I won't do, I'm making sure too my mouth is not a witness to something I have not seen because I wasn't there.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, but then it's like we can't say, I mean, we have our opinions, but is she telling the truth? Is she not? She could have had it blocked out. Disassociated the experience, Ebony. She could have disassociated the experience while she was married, and just coincidentally, it resurfaced after he married. You know,
very interesting.
Wow. Ebony and I talked about her being spiteful. What were you saying, John, in the chat room?
Vindictive is more like it.
Yeah, vindictive. Yeah. So I don't know. I can't wait till that story is really. They try to keep it on the down low, Ebony said, but that story is really exploding now. Hey, the power of blogtalkradio.com is amazing. the listeners are Googling that story right now.
It's the first time I'm hearing about it.
It's the first time I heard about it. She said just
it's
not breaking.
Story now. No, it's a story in our local press, so it's not a national story.
Wait, it's not local anymore.
But it's an important story because you know what it will do when women read that. It will set some people up to believe that they can do it too. She gets away with it.
And John, you know what? John, I know where it seems looks vindictive. He had just arrived back from his honeymoon, and the papers was on the table. Now, after the honeymoon.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's history.
Now. That seemed like a movie. That doesn't even seem like real life. Like, look on the table.
It's not like obsession to me.
Yeah.
It sounded like what?
It sounded like obsession to me. Because it was
wow.
the idea that somebody said, I don't want you, but I don't want nobody else to have you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder who filed for divorce. Or was it
she
mutual?
She filed for it. No, she filed
for
divorce.
Oh, he filed for it. Oh! So, see, that kind of makes a...
Yeah, she filed for it. So, it wasn't... I'm sorry, our ice cream van is just buzzing. Oh, God, it's so loud. Hold on.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know I'm a proponent of ice cream.
That's how you get to know ice cream is coming. That's the way they get the kids out. So I'm just right by my window, and it's passing, so apologies. If you've not been to the UK, now you know that's how you get your ice cream. Okay.
Oh, okay.
They drive by in a van, and they play the music, and the children come out to buy their ice cream in the summer.
That's how they usually do here, and I'm sure in Houston too. We're in a hot state, Texas and Mississippi, but that's how they do
right.
here too. And not just the children, you know, you getting some ice cream too, isn't it?
Oh, I'm not an ice cream person.
This is an amazing story, and it doesn't matter the race, but I'm being nosy. Oh, what's the race of that couple?
Yeah, she's a black woman.
Because, I'm not pulling out the race card. I just wanted to know right quick.
I don't know that it looks bad. And it actually did look bad. When I heard the story, I was like, really, a sister did that? No. I really can't believe that she did that. But people do stuff. People will do stuff. And it's just a lesson to people out there that, you think you know someone, but you never really know what someone will do. You just don't know where they will go.
I remember a story like that happened to one of my friends who, you all know, and he's probably listening to the show, and he's probably saying, Bethany, please don't bring me up. Not that one. But my friend Timok, the martial artist, a couple of years ago, he had got into a disagreement with his ex-fiance, who is also a well-known martial artist, and he was and she had put out on the Twitter world that he had did the R word to her during a disagreement, I guess during a breakup, and he. TMZ covered it and everything, and I guess he wouldn't want me talking about. But I guess he wouldn't mind me saying this. He did tell me I did not do that, and I honestly believe him. I have been date raped before, and I let him know. I'm like, he know how much I admire him and respect him, but I'm like, I have been date raped before, so honestly, tell me the truth. And I hope he doesn't get me for doing this, but he honestly told me he didn't. But it just, that can ruin you getting, especially if you're an entertainer, but even if you're not an entertainer, just your work, your everyday life, that can affect your reputation if it's something that's not true.
Absolutely.
And with this woman's ex-husband, it's putting doubt in his new wife's mind, probably.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she knows what she's doing. And, it's not a question if she knows what she knows, exactly what she's doing. And it is to get that effect. It is to produce the effect of doubt, because doubt is very dangerous. It's a dangerous thing, because he can say something, but, she knows when she walks away from him, her mind is going to be thinking, did he do this? Did he really do that to that person? And if I believe him, years to come, might that happen to me? That could happen to me. So, I defend him as my husband, but do I know who I'm defending? So it's doubt. It's to put the doubt in there, and people do it, and they know in the cold light of day, there's some point you're going to be thinking, do I really know this person that I'm with? And that's where the problem starts. I swear the
wow.
puppet will stop.
And I'm glad John is sharing the male perspective on this, and then we know that he's a caring man, and we talked to his woman. So what do you really think? I know you can. You want to elaborate on your opinion regarding this. But I guess we need to learn more about the story, but she's told us a lot.
And just like I said earlier, you know, show you how powerful words are. I mean, negative words is that powerful. You know, when people say things, they don't understand the gravity of the words that come out their mouth. Now, once your mouth is wide open, those words slide like arrows. You can never bring it back. Whether it be
yeah.
a true or lie, you still damage somebody's reputation. And the truth is, I think somewhere in the Bible, I think Paul said, our mouth is like an open grave. In other words, it lays waste. That's what the Bible says. Our mouth is like an open grave.
Ooh,
you know,
there's
an old saying that where there's no wood, the fire ceases. But what happens, we live in a society where we have social media, Facebook, Twitter. That makes gossip and rumors even worse, because even though it is proven to not be true, damage done. And a lot of times, even with the situation that you were saying earlier about the gentleman that was a martial arts.
From The Last Dragon, Ty Mogg, just a couple of years ago with his, he was engaged to this, you probably ain't heard about it. And he said, I didn't do that. But she got on Twitter and just started telling, like, all his fans and people that his colleagues and peers that, and he forced raped me and all this, you know, like, wow.
But look how damaging that was for his reputation.
Yeah, exactly. And TMZ had covered their disagreement, but she had got on Twitter just telling just saying that, and that's serious, you know.
Falsely
accuse somebody.
Well, I'm going to ask y'all a question then. If y'all see someone that murders someone, where should the murderer go? What y'all think is just for a murderer?
For a murderer?
Yeah, for a person who murdered, what is the justice for that individual? What do you want to see happen to a murderer?
They go to jail.
A cold blooded murder. Yeah, a cold blooded murder, not self defense. Life.
Okay, now, what suppose I say a gossiper is equivalent to a murderer? How come we don't process?
Oh my God.
When we kill somebody, what's the difference?
In some countries, they probably cut their tongues. But.
What's the difference? We got a lot of murderers out here walking without being prosecuted.
True, because you murdered someone's reputation.
That's equivalent to...
You murdered somebody's reputation.
They can never recover.
You're right.
You can never recover.
You're right.
So what's the justice for those type of people?
That is so true.
They should do life. I agree. I think they should do life. People say, give a lot of excuses why, you know, maybe you should save that person. The ultimate in you know, and I think that's the problem. That is a problem that a lot of people get away with it. They do get away with it, particularly women. Let's just call it what it is. Women get away with it. Because, you know, at the end of the day, people will always say it's your word against the other person, and it's hard to prove it if you're really telling the truth. But, you know, it's one of those, I don't know, it's a difficult one. But women will keep doing it because it's an easy one. It's an easy way to get someone, and particularly a man. If you cry rape, you know, other people will always almost give you the benefit of the doubt immediately. Without hearing anything else, they will give you the benefit of the doubt.
You made me also think about the movie Disclosure. Remember the movie with Michael Douglas and Demi Moore?
Yes.
When it was more on the corporate level, on the job?
That's right. Yeah.
Whoa. That was serious right there. And that happens a lot, I'm quite sure. Wow. And that was 20 years ago when that film came out. Like, goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, and people give you the benefit of the doubt because it's like, you know, why would a woman lie? Why would you lie about something like that, you know? Mm-hmm. And this isn't a marriage, so you know what? That's way off. There's no evidence to prove it. It's strictly her word, but, you know,
in just the last minute, I just started thinking psychologically, maybe she disassociated herself. I guess some people said Bethany just watched Grey's Anatomy last night, the practice. But, you know, but she might have disassociated. She might have disassociated the experience from during the marriage, and then it surfaced, and she decided to bring it out. But it's kind of weird when it came out after he married, and cause why she didn't mention it when he was? Because he probably didn't immediately get married. He might have. But why she didn't mention it, or when it, like,
he
right after the divorce or something? Oh, okay.
No, I think that's the problem. He immediately got married. They were divorced. He left whilst, you know, not, you know, after the divorce, but they had been living together. And I think she believed they would get back together. And I think when that didn't happen,
my goodness. So
marry
they
someone
have
else.
Been living together.
It. Yeah.
Oh, it sure
been.
Is more to this story.
Yeah.
You hear that, John? They had been living together, so she thought they might would get back together.
Well,
that is deep.
Yeah. I know when you divorce, one should be packed and moving to their own separate spot.
Yeah.
Then he immediately married someone else, and then some people have to keep it secret, and I guess he eloped or something like that, or just told a few people. But this is going to be an amazing story. I don't think that story is going to stay local. It's already international because we're on the air talking about it.
the very unfortunate point, like I think I heard the relationship coach said earlier about you really don't want to look on people's mind, but really
my next broadcast will be Wednesday morning at 5:30. Cause in Ebony, your rise. When is your next Rise and Shine, Ebony?
Oh, my next Rise and Shine is on Friday. So we only do Mondays and Fridays. Yeah.
Okay.
I
host Culture Shock Entertainment Reports, and I usually air at 5:30 a.m. in the morning. But it's Memorial Day, so I scheduled for 11:30 today. And sometimes do late night. But Wednesday is when we really talk about relationships and matters of the heart, all topics.
Okay.
And I'm so glad you and your wife shared information because, you know, want to hear more from couples, too, to talk about what causes the longevity of their relationships. But, you know, Evan and I love to communicate with one another, and we have other friends that call both our shows from different backgrounds that share their experiences.
Yeah, but what I've learned through people who's been married for years, they said three things you do. You do keep people out of your marriage, keep money out of it, and keep materialism out of it. I mean, don't get me wrong, money is what you need to do to get the things that you need. But I'm talking about in terms of don't allow that to get between you and your spouse. And when you start letting people into your marriage, it kills it every time it does it. You can trace most marriage to one of them three that end in divorce, so one of those three. And the truth of the matter is, marriage is a sacred thing. And since it's sacred, you keep the world out of it. If only one person belongs in your business, and that's God, your spouse, the husband and the wife. Them are the only three people belong in that circle, nobody else. And when people
why? You say keep the children out, too. Because I was watching something
where... The children is what they are, children.
I hear that.
You don't put the child...
I was watching something, or there was a motivational speaker or somebody that I admire, but he said that some people think ill of him because he keeps his children out of he and his wife's marriage. You know, he said that the marriage comes before the children, and some people think that that's not right. But he said that's how it keeps the marriage together, though, to keep the marriage first.
Because when the marriage is strong, then the children won't be fine. It's a marriage.
Okay, so
offline. Everything has its order, just like the presidency has an order. Our government got an order. The military got an order. If something is out of whack, throws everything off. The man is not saying he don't love his children, but the children don't come before a husband or wife. Period.
I don't have any children. Anthony have kids. And she talked openly about how she don't expose her kids to certain people.
She's wise for not doing that. She's wise because you don't want your child to meet a man that may not work out. You don't want your child to get in contact with these people because until y'all say I do, those children is her priority, period.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Good point, yes.
But now in terms of the husband, the husband has to take care of his family. He got to take care of his wife. He got to take care of his children. Even though the husband is at the top, he's still responsible for everybody's well-being. That's why a lot of us men run away from it when we realize the responsibility that's involved. When they realize what they're working, a lot of men pick up and run because they realize you have to be concerned about that woman's well-being. You got to be concerned about their children's well-being. You actually become a servant of them all. And when men realize
exactly, and to me, that's one trait. That, and that's true. And that's one thing that one trait that I admire in, you know, in a gentleman, especially if my eyes are open looking for a significant other. To me, to be able to be a good disciplinarian. One of the friends of the show and I talked about that a couple of weeks ago, and it's important for men to be the disciplinarian.
Are you saying self-disciplinary or to discipline?
But self-disciplinarian, but then also, like he was saying, keep things in order.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not saying for we women not to be independent or interdependent, because an interdependent relationship. But back to what he was saying, being responsible, being able to handle responsibilities and be disciplined in himself. Because if he's not disciplined himself, he can't discipline his woman, and if it's any kids, or any, or manage the household or anything.
But I'm going to use this as an example. When it comes time for me and her to eat, okay, I don't eat until she sits down and we pray and we eat together. Everything takes a back seat. The phone takes a back seat. The computer takes a back seat. It's our time. The world had our time. When we get home, it's our time now. Everybody takes a back seat. Well, what happens in a lot of homes, children...
Some people may say, wow, John is strict.
No, that is strict. That's just family. The way the world wants us to do it is not working. When children come home, they run straight to the computer. The husband goes his way. The wife goes their way. We have no idea what's going on in each other's lives, like a bunch of strangers in a home. If you watch Jewish and other cultures, they all sit at the dinner table at our school today. Now, people may laugh and say, that's some salty stuff. But let's look at the real bigger picture in society. It costs us more as a society as whole when we have divorce. It costs society. It's going to cost us in taxpayer and housing people in jail. It's going to cost us more money for people on the road because homes are messed up. So it's not working. The way the world has gone on, it has failed miserably, and now we're seeing the repercussions of it. Gangs are nothing more but a system of absent fathers, period. That's why we
have
gangs. Because
I
when
agree.
They did a research in the 1960s, when y'all have time, please, the beauty of technology, they Google the rat experiment. They took a father rat out of a cage, and did you know soon they took the father rat out of the cage, all the little mice got to run in packs. Soon they put the father back in the cage, they stopped running in packs and stopped following him. And they see that
But when they took the father out, everything just went away.
When they took the father out, there was chaos. So everybody started running in packs. They wasn't doing that while he was in there. They were following him. As soon as they took the father rat out, all of them started running in packs. And that's similar behavior of a human being. This is why they have a lot of rat experience, experiment, because believe it or not, the female rat uterus is similar to a female human uterus. So that's why they do a lot of rat testing. So when you look,
that's a good point. I always wondered that. So that's why. Okay.
So when you see the father rat being taken out of the cage, they're running packs, and that's why we have a lot of games, is because of absent fathers. It's the result of absent daddies.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's a topic I want us to talk about in the future, too, gang culture. The history of gang culture from the long ago to now. Some people don't realize that. And then it's not just American thing. Gang culture is worldwide, right, Ebony? Because I think I've heard you mention it.
It's everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And every country is trying to deal with it. And, yeah, we don't want to acknowledge where it's coming from, that's for sure.
That's true.
Yeah, because it's a touchy topic, too, because if you really want to talk about it, it really goes deep to it. Because what he just said was deep. A lot of people disagree. Like, no, it's not because of the absence of fathers or positive male role models. Because some people will debate him on what he just said.
They're going to lose. Yeah. They're going to lose because it's too many statistics proving it to be true. That is a losing debate. And I wouldn't even waste my time in debate foolishness. Because ask these taxpayers. The real problem here in Houston, we're losing people every day. It's like there's no love for human life, especially among African Americans. Now listen, when we look at the black culture in the United States, I don't know so much about London, but I know over here on this side of the pond, the amount of black lives that are being lost on the street is wasted life. I mean, it's just incredible the amount of blacks that die at the hands of their own black brother. It's breathtaking. It is
definitely
genocide.
That's what I was talking about when I said I'm usually surprised at some of the news and stats that I get from my UK friends, because, you know, I've always loved the UK, my favorite place I've never been to, and I'm like, always like shocked when I hear like some of the same stats that's over in America that's going on in the UK. I'm like, no.
Mrs. Ebony, is that true that y'all lose a lot of black men out there as well?
Yeah, there's lots of black-on-black crime. A lot of lives taken by young black men, who will take the lives of their own black brothers. Yes, there's a lot of it here. It's getting a little better than it was, but every so often we hear about a young man stabbed, and it's normally a young black man stabbed and, you know, stabbed by another young black man. That's how it runs.
Is there the jail in London, is it disproportionately filled with African descent males?
Well, we're becoming that way. African, Afro-Caribbean black males in this country, are a huge percentage of the prison population, and also a huge percentage of our mental health institutions.
Oh my God!
So that's the other problem.
Wow, Mrs. Culture, Shock. You know that over in America, the disproportionate amount of African Americans in jail, right? Well, did you know?
Yes, and I'm in Jackson, Mississippi, a medium-sized city, and it's just sad the crime that happens in this medium-sized city. Oh my goodness! But what were you saying?
I'm about to drop a stats on you right now that will make you say, oh, my God, your mouth will open up wide what I'm about to say. They said 70% of drug use in America are done by white people or Caucasian.
Wow.
But only 10% of them are incarcerated in jail. Only 10% of that. Now, here's the bombshell. African-American and Latinos combined only makes up 25% of drug use in this country. But 90% of them are incarcerated. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Yes, I hear that, and something's not adding up. Wow.
They, That's why we have a lot of African American men in jail for nonviolent felony called drug charges.
Yeah.
Now, when I say 25%, I'm talking about combined with the Latino community. Combined makes up 25% of drug use, but 90% of them are incarcerated in jail.
90%.
And they only make up 25%. I mean, combined. I'm talking about African and Latino combined only makes up 25% of drug use in this country, but 90% of them are incarcerated in jail. And that's why when we look at the African-American community, we live in a community where black men are recycled in and out of incarceration. That's why a lot of black women pick a pool of men is very small. So when you pick a man, he's apt to be reckless, sexually risky, and that's why we have a high increase of HIV infection among African-American
women. That's what I was going to mention, too, about the high rate of HIV and AIDS, and that's another stat that shocked me that I see is not a good – that I see where HIV and AIDS is on a rise in the U.K., Ebony, and that's wrong or right? Because I'm like, in shock sometimes because I get a lot of – like PSAs and news regarding HIV and AIDS in the UK. I know HIV and AIDS everywhere, but I was just, again, I was surprised to see the statistics that I've seen.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
I wouldn't know if it's increasing, but, you know, healthcare around the whole AIDS thing has definitely improved. So,
that's one thing I noticed that there's a lot.
Yeah.
I noticed that there's a lot of going on to try to prevent it.
Yeah,
from the UK media that I get.
Yeah, there is a lot of work that's been done to manage HIV. In fact, you're better off getting HIV than you are cancer nowadays, because there seems to be a real improvement.
You gotta be kidding me!
How people are looked after. No, seriously. You know, more people I think are dying from cancer than probably HIV now. Because there are people who are getting HIV and are living 20, 30 years in good health.
Yeah.
I had a friend recently who was actually got AIDS, it progressed, and they managed to save him very well, and he's living fine, you know.
Wow.
Yeah,
that wouldn't happen. Years ago, he would have died for sure. He would have died.
I have a rather handsome, outgoing cousin who's had HIV for years, and he's a picture of health, and he is just an amazing person.
Yeah. It's not what it used to be. Yeah.
Wow. All I can say is wow on that. I didn't know that. Golly. So you're trying to tell me cancer is killing more people in Britain than AIDS is?
Well, it is, because if you know anybody who's got HIV, you know, and they are on a drug program, most of them are doing very well. They're not dying very, it's not like before. I think because so much money has been put into HIV research, particularly because wealthy people were getting HIV. And you think about all the big campaigns that have been with stars supporting, you know, their friends who they've lost for HIV. A lot of money has gone into HIV in the last 20 years. A lot of money. People who get HIV have almost a better chance of survival than if you were going to get certain types of cancer.
Wow.
Because the research the money's not there.
John, they have a very good healthcare system over in UK, too. America needs to start taking notes from the UK.
Don't start with that's a whole conversation. You want to blow your phone off? Don't touch on that healthcare situation. Touch on that healthcare situation, because there's a lot of people. I've heard that about Britain, about their healthcare situation. But here in America, I had a friend a few years ago. She lives somewhere out in the flats. I don't know why you call it the flats out there. She said she lives in the flats. Maybe Ebony, you know what I mean, a flat.
Like an apartment.
Yes. And she was telling me when she was in Cincinnati, Ohio, she said did you get a chance to check out our medical systems here? She said, no, you got to have money or be rich to have insurance in this country. I was scared to get sick here because if I get sick here in this country, I was going to die. I bust out and laugh. But you know what? She said, what we don't pay for, y'all got to pay for it here. She said, that's crazy to me. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah, but Canada and the UK, they have good healthcare systems.
Yeah,
and I don't know why we're not modeling after them, after the UK and Canada.
Not
I guess Ebony can tell us more, but
in order to have a healthcare system, you have to have people pay more taxes to allow people who can't afford to pay for healthcare to have free healthcare. So I guess that's the difference in the UK, that there is that health system. But it's not as good. I mean, it's good. I say it's good.
Okay.
But it depends on, you know, what illness you have. There are a lot of people here who lose their lives. And, you know, things happen. Things happen in the healthcare system.
Oh,
it is good. It's the best healthcare system in the world. But nothing's perfect. That's what I would say to you. There is nothing that's perfect. You know, there are still people struggling, you know, to get the best care that they can. And again,
yeah.
It depends on the kind of illness you get. Because if you get cancer, you know, there are still a lot of cancers that are not treatable. And the health system isn't able to cope with some of those. You may be luckier in the US if you have money that, you know, if you get ill in any shape or form that, you know, it's a quick turnaround. You know, or maybe you're getting really thorough health checks once a year or twice a year, whereas, you know, the healthcare system here isn't about thoroughly, it's more about treating illnesses than prevention. I think if you're paying in the US, you're probably paying for more preventative care than, you know, once you get sick, then trying to deal with it. So there are advantages and disadvantages. I'd say the advantage for your side may be that you have that opportunity to look at prevention rather than just dealing with cures.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I love Obama. Don't get me wrong. I love him. I voted for the guy.
Yeah, I love Obama. I'm Republican, and I love me some Obama. You know, if you listen to the show, you know I love me some Obama and First Lady. But what were you about to say? It sounds like you're getting ready to add something.
I'm about to put something out there. I love the guy. I think personally, he's a good guy. But I don't too much care for the health care bill he has that ties up
everybody. Oh, yeah.
That bill is going to be a mess. Seriously. It's going to tie up a lot of physicians' heads because some of them are not going to be able to reach their what they call overhead cost. And you have a lot of companies, like let's say restaurants, fast food restaurants, these secondhand stores who normally don't give people that option to get it, well, make it mandatory. Now they have to make it mandatory for these people to get insurance and a lot of them are pushing.
Oh, yeah, and some companies have like wellness programs.
Yes, but they're pushing a lot of them to part-time because some of these companies said they would rather pay the penalty and allow these people to go to an exchange because they said they don't want to pay for insurance. Places like a lot of some of your restaurants. You know, there was a couple of well-known restaurants, and I don't say them, Blog Talk, that came out and complained about that, said we have to cut back on people's hours because of this new healthcare law that's supposed to kick in January of next year, I believe. And what they're saying, just to avoid it, they just rather push their employees on part-time so they'll meet that criteria for coverage, which is crazy to me.
Wow.
It's time for people to
think
about now. Go ahead.
Wow. I think it's almost time. I don't want us to get cut off because I think the show will be concluded because we're going overtime, and I thank you all too because we are have gone overtime. But I just wanted to warn you in case we only have a couple more minutes. But if they give me more time, then we can continue on. So I just wanted to let you all know we might get cut off in a couple of minutes, and I want Ebony to remind us of her future broadcast. My next broadcast is Wednesday morning.